here. We'll be turning this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Gospel of John, the 5th chapter. We were in chapter 2 last Sunday morning. Find our place today in chapter 5. So please, it's one of those times that the internet is messing up here. Thank you. Forgive me. Give me just a moment here. It's interesting. 2 minutes ago, I was sitting over there and looking at the message. I walk up to the pulpit, and it disappears. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. We'll go ahead and read the passage, beginning in verse 17, John chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, where it says, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.' Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto his Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forward. They that have done good unto resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can do of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Father, once again, we bow before you, thanking you for your great mercy, thanking you for your love for us. And Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name, would you be pleased to do amazing things here in our midst today? Grant your presence and power, Father. Speak to hearts, lost and saved alike, that we, Father, would have that desire to indeed give glory to that name which is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for every good, every perfect gift we receive from Thee. For it is in Jesus' name and for His glory that we pray. Amen and amen. And, of course, you may be seated. It's frustrating at times. When you think you have everything set and arranged, and then it doesn't quite work out that way. But as we come to this fifth chapter in the Gospel of John today, and Jesus has once again upset the Jewish leadership. And in our passage where it just speaks of the Jews, it's referring to those who were the religious leaders. And they're upset with him this time because he has just healed a man on the Sabbath day. You're mindful of that in the early part of the chapter where he went to that pool of Bethesda, and there was that impotent man, that crippled man that couldn't get to the water when the angel stirred it in time before someone else. And the Lord Jesus Christ heals that man. It happened that it took place on the Sabbath day. He aggravates them even the more by telling this lame man, as he heals him, to take up his bed and walk. And of course, he does just that. But the Lord Jesus Christ isn't finished yet. He goes on and makes a statement that identifies himself as the Son of God, as the Son of the very God of glory. He was, beloved, we understand this, he was and is the Son of God, and is, as the Son of God, has a unique relationship with his Father. We want to look at that a bit today. We want to look at Jesus and his Father. In our passage, we find first of all that the Father and Son are co-laborers. They work together. They are co-laborers. And Jesus declares this as part of his relationship to the Father. We read there a moment ago in that 17th verse. And it says, "But Jesus answered them," the religious leaders, the Jews. He says, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." That word "hitherto" is really not a difficult word. It just simply means my Father's working right now. He is now at work. And, Turner paraphrase, so am I. So am I. Yeah. Jesus, he's seeking to answer the Jewish leaders concerning why they're so angry with him. He says, "My Father," as we just said, "at this very time, right now, as at work, and I am as well." Now, was there something wrong with that statement? Did he say something that was incorrect? Was he wrong? Well, absolutely not. It was the Jewish leaders that were wrong, not the Lord Jesus Christ. The leaders, the Jews, had determined their decision was to kill Jesus. Huh? To kill him over all this. Verse 18, it says, "Therefore, because of this, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." That word "equal" means just that. To be of the same. To be similar. Jesus was of the same essence as his very Father. Now, twice in three verses, we're told that the Jews have resolved to kill Jesus. In fact, they're already seeking a way to kill him. In verse 16, we read this, "And therefore, as the Jews had witnessed this miracle," Jesus restoring health to this man. Verse 16, "Therefore, did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." Now, in the Jewish leadership's biblical and spiritual ignorance. They want to kill Jesus. They want to put him to death because he had performed this act of mercy, beloved, by healing this man who had been lame. If you go back and read the passage, he had been lame for 38 years. 38 years. And again, what was their problem with it? He had done this miracle on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day. What they don't realize is that while they were worrying about the Sabbath laws and the restrictions about what you couldn't do on the Sabbath day, the Lord of the Sabbath was right there in their midst. He's there in their presence. And he had performed this miraculous healing for this dear man. Then, after what he says in verse 17, they are even more irate with him. Jesus, beloved, I'm trying to say it as simply as I can. Jesus had divine DNA. He had divine DNA because his Father is divine. And on that, the Jews were correct. Jesus was claiming God was his Father, and by claiming that God was his Father, he was claiming equality with his Father. Right. Equality with God. They were dead wrong in concluding that Jesus was evil or was doing anything wrong for making, in their minds, making himself God. He was equal with his Father. He was of the very same essence of his Father. Why? Because God was his Father. A son. Hopefully we understand this. A son is of the same nature as the Father. And as we just said, Jesus had that divine DNA in his very essence and person. And so the Lord Jesus goes on now. And he describes his relationship with his Father. He makes some statements. He says some things here that describe his relationship with his Father. And he goes on in verse 19. And he says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them." Now, three times in our passage, he uses those familiar words, "Verily, verily." In the Greek, you know what it is? Amen and amen. Truly, truly, for a fact. Verily, verily, three times he uses that statement. And we're going to look at the three statements or the three truths that he lays out for the Jews with those statements. What he's saying is, for a fact, in verse 19, "I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Again, Jesus answers them. No matter what the question is. No matter what the question might be, Jesus Christ always has the answer. He always has the answer. And now, as we said, he's going to give an explanation to them concerning this relationship that they're so upset about. His relationship with the Father. And he tells us here in verse 19 that the Son works under the direction of his Father. He works under the direction. "I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth, what he understands, what he knows, the Father does." Or as the Father does. As he sees the Father do. Now, Jesus was not working on his own dictates. He wasn't acting on his own. He came to earth to do what? To fulfill the will of his Father. He came here to accomplish what God gave him to do. And though he was God in the flesh, he did not operate He did not work independent of his Father. This says a lot as we might think about it. He was indeed God. He was, obviously, is God, and could do nothing less than be God. Do we get that? How could Jesus be anything but God? We understand, yes, he was fully man. But even in his manhood, he was divine. He had the very deity of God. And when he acted as God. He acted as God. He always did. We understand this. Everything he did pleased his Father. He couldn't do anything that would not please his Father. Why do you say that? It would be contrary to who and what he was to do anything to displease his Father. We see this as we go along. He always did what his Father was pleased with. We see that he and his Father always worked in harmony with each other. Let that sink in. We'll see more of this. John 8:29. John records there in John 8:29. And he that sent me, Jesus speaking, and he that sent me is with me. Can the Father and Son be separated? We'll talk about this a little bit. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For because I do always those things that please him. How often? Always. Young people. Not a one of you would dare lie to me, right? I want you all, no, I wouldn't lie to you, preacher. Do you always do what pleases your father and mother? Now, you said you weren't going to lie to me, Daniel. We'll have to talk later. But that's the example, isn't it? He did always. His heart's desire. And, of course, he couldn't fail in that. May God help us to understand something that the Jews never understood. They never got it. The unity, the oneness of the God, of God the Father and God the Son was total and complete in every way. Everything that is possible for God the Father was also possible for God the Son.
Amen.
Separation was impossible. We'll let that sink in just a minute. Separation was impossible. And the religious crowd never got it. They never understood that. The only separation that ever occurred between God the Father and God the Son was when Jesus hung there on Calvary's cross. Are you mindful that during that afternoon, from the 6th to the 9th hour, a darkness came over. Oh, the world tries to explain that away, and I don't understand all the science of it and how it all works. They say it was a solar eclipse or some other eclipse of the sun. And how long does an eclipse last? A few minutes? This was 3 hours. Darkness came over the earth. It was a darkness period of time on this earth planet, in all of history. A supernaturally imposed darkness. At that 9th hour, the 3rd hour, Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The closest to a separation between these two. God the Father left God the Son to suffer the full weight, the full punishment, the full wrath of God for sin, for you and for me, for us. the penalty of our sin. But we also see here the Son's deity. It says, these also doeth the Son likewise. So we said it a moment ago. What God, the Father, is able to do, what He has the power to do, the Son, God the Son, has that same ability, the same power. And Jesus made Himself available to His Father, yielded Himself completely and totally to the will of His Father, doing, as we've already seen, always those things which were consistent, consistent with being God. He couldn't do anything else. The perfections of deity were accomplished through the workings of His Son. The workings of His Son. We also see here an obvious, the Father, our Heavenly Father, loves and reveals all to His Son. We read that in verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, notice, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. God the Father doesn't act independently of the Son, nor the Son of the Father. And He will show Him, now get this, He will show Him greater works than these that you may marvel. This man was healed. This impotent man was healed. But oh, there was much greater things yet in store. Greater yet in store. The relationship here between God the Father and God the Son, was a perfect expression and example, if you will, of love. You want to understand love? Look at the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. If we want to learn what real love is. And because of that perfect loving relationship, the Father did nothing that the Son was not aware of, and vice versa. They were as one, as we understand the deity of Trinity. Well, we see here the absolute judgment given to the Son. Absolute judgment given in verse 22. Well, verse 21 says this, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. He had just healed a man, but He also could give life. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Interesting. Jesus deserves the exact same honor that His Father received. He that honoreth not the Son, get that? He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Jesus adds that statement again in summary here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that hath sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life. Judgment is past that one. We'll look at that in a moment. So we see here that because He is God, the Father, He had absolute right and authority over all the affairs of this universe. And in His sovereign wisdom, He had committed all complete judgment to His Son. Verily, verily, the Father and the Son work in perfect union. Perfect. And we see here that they were co-laborers. But they're also to be honored. Both Father and Son are to be honored. Honored. There in verse 22, as we just read, we see the evidence. The evidence of the Son's honor. He tells us He tells us, this tells us, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the judge of all the earth. Stick with that. As judge, then, he is what? He is to be honored. When you stand before an earthly judge, when you stand before an earthly judge, it's a good idea to speak to him with respect, isn't it? We understand that. In fact, when the judge is spoken to, he or she is addressed as your honor. What are you to give to a judge? Honor. Where do you think that came from? The judge of all the earth is to be honored. In Romans chapter 14, we read this. Romans 14, verses 10 and 11 there in that chapter. Romans 14, 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul speaks to this very thing. He said, but why dost thou, he's speaking to that local church there in Rome, and he says, why dost thou judge thy brother? Believers in that church were standing in judgment one of the other. Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He's speaking to believers here. Where we stand before the judgment seat of Christ to see what we have done. That evaluation of our walk for God. It goes on. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee, how many? Every knee shall bow to me. Amen. Every tongue shall confess to God.
Amen.
Huh? This judge, the judge of all the earth, is to be honored, my beloved.
Oh, yeah.
He's to be honored. And then we see also in these verses the defense of the Son's honor. Remember, this is Jesus. This is Jesus speaking about himself. Huh? And he's not boasting. He's not asserting something for himself. He's just stating what is.
Amen.
He's stating who he is. Jesus speaking about himself and his Father. He says, as we read a moment ago, if you dishonor me, you dishonor my Father. These Jews would have, whoa, wait a minute. These Jewish leaders, in all their legalistic ways, they thought they were being so careful to honor Jehovah God. Here the Son of Jehovah God is in their midst, and they are dishonoring him. And Jesus is explaining to them, you dishonor me. You're dishonoring my Father. We understand this. It was the Father that had gave him that place of honor. Isn't that the way authority works? It's the way authority works. The ambassador that is sent on behest of, we'll just say, on behest of a king. What's he doing? He is sent under the authority of a king, whatever that king might be. That applies. And if you dishonor that ambassador, you're what? You're dishonoring the king that sent him. This applies in many ways spiritually. In the family. Now get this. I was picking on y'all a little bit ago. The younger ones aren't in here. Do you disrespect your mother? You're disrespecting your father, who God has made the head of your home. Who made him the head of your home? God made your father the head of the home. So, if you dishonor your mother, you're dishonoring your father, but ultimately, who are you dishonoring? God. Huh? When you sass your mama, you're sassing God. Please let that sink in, young people. I want God's blessing on you. It applies in a local church. Someone who's operating, a leader that's operating under the auspices of the pastor is operating under the pastor's direction. You dishonor that leader. You're dishonoring the pastor who has been put in place by who? The application's pretty clear. Very, very careful, beloved. Be very careful. Well, verily, verily, the answer for this judgment is faith in God. What did it say in verse 24? Verily, verily, I, Jesus, say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Huh? What does John 3:16 say? The most familiar verse in all the Bible? For God so loved the world that whosoever... Who gave his only begotten, whosoever believeth in him shall what? Not perish, shall not come under condemnation, but have everlasting life. But then thirdly, Father and Son, then we make this conclusion, have the power of life. Both the Father and the Son have the power of life. We read in verse 21 earlier, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Then we drop down to verse 25. Again, those words, verily, verily, for a truth, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself. Wow. God has authority over life. He's the life. He's the one that spoke life into existence. And he has the power of life and death, both physically and spiritually, both temporally and eternally. And during his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ raised a number of people from the dead. Raised them from the dead. Gave life. We're familiar. Remember the widow of Nain's son. They were on their way to the cemetery. Remember? Carrying his lifeless body. I love it. Jesus changed a funeral procession into a time of praise as he raised her son from the dead. In Capernaum, we remember that the Lord Jesus Christ raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. And certainly, we know and understand, he raised Lazarus from the tomb. After he had been dead for 3 days, what did Jesus say? Greater things than seeing this lame man healed or ahead. Yes, indeed. What's he say? The Son's hour is now. The Son's hour is now, and he tells them, hear, listen, and live. He's telling you need not come under judgment. Jesus then, and Jesus is now, giving eternal life to all that will hear him. It's not just simply talking about hearing his voice, but talking about hearing and believing. Hearing and believing. Remember those words? We just mentioned how Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Remember the words that he spoke to Lazarus' sister Martha in John chapter 11? John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus, it says, said unto her. Remember, he always has the answer. She came to him crying, weeping. If you had been here. Huh? If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. What was Jesus' answer? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, carry this through. The Son gives life to who? Those that hear with the ear of faith. Those who hear. We can't stop yet. Verse 27. Well, verse 26 says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Again, be mindful, this is Jesus speaking of himself. Verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which that all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Wow. Quite a statement. Quite a statement. As we just said, the Son gives life to those that will hear, those that will believe. Now, there was another amazing miracle of resurrection life through the Lord Jesus Christ. We mentioned there as the Lord Jesus Christ hung there at Calvary from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, that darkness covered the earth. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Just a couple verses later in that passage, it says this, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now, just one thing. Please remember this. No one took Jesus' life. Huh? Yes. The Romans horribly scourged him, nailed him to that cross. He didn't die until he chose. He yielded up his spirit. Huh? Please remember that. It goes on in verse 51. And behold, at that moment, when he yielded up his spirit, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to bottom. There, within the temple, before the Holy of Holies, where behind it, behind that veil rested the Ark of the Covenant. When Jesus gave up his spirit, that veil ripped in twain, was torn in half from top to bottom. It says, it goes on, and the earth did quake, the rocks rent, the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared to many. That passage has always amazed me. The power of God, beloved, on display. Amazing, isn't it? What happens here is just an amazing foretaste, if you will. It's a sampling. Listen, it's a sampling of what will one day take place when the trump of God sounds and the dead in Christ, the saved saints that have gone on ahead will be raised from the dead, and all of us that are alive and remain will join them in the clouds. And what does it say? To forever be with the Lord. Huh? Wow. The Son of God gives life to those that will hear. To those that will hear. But then, just before we close, we see once again the Lord Jesus Christ mentions the interdependence, His dependence on the Father. In verse 30, it says this. Once again, He mentions it in verse 19. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, that what I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. See what I mean? My judgment is right. My judgment is right. We could say this. His judgment is righteous. Righteous judgment. Because, why is that? Because I seek not mine own will. It's not, He said, I'm not here accomplishing. I'm here accomplishing the will of Him that sent me. I'm here the will of the Father, which has sent me. He says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. What's that about? Jesus is declaring, if what I am saying, if my explanation to you is not the truth, the explanation of my relationship with my Father, if that's not the truth, then I'm a liar. I'm a liar. My witness, my word is not true. We said the Lord makes a statement twice. Makes it twice. He assures us that the Son in verse 19 can do nothing of Himself. And now in verse 30 He says this, I can do nothing of mine own self. He says, as I hear, I judge. As His Father speaks to Him. And my judgment is just. In this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ declares and He emphasizes this tremendous relationship. No other two persons has ever existed. I don't think I said that right, but I'm talking about that relationship between God the Father and God the Son. Let that soak in. Tremendous relationship. Remember what He said? I always do my Father's will. Essentially, He's saying, I always do my Father's will and I accomplish what He sent me to do. Did He do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Verily, verily. What is the answer to death? The Son. The answer to death is the Son of God. Yes, beloved. Yes, indeed. Jesus' relationship with His Father was absolutely perfect. Amazing. Amazing. It is the perfect relationship between Father and Son. It has to be, because they were both perfect, right? Jesus' desire as the perfect Son was to do what? To please and honor His Father. His perfect Father. And He did that in a beautiful, perfect, and I would say inspiring way. It should inspire us. Now listen to this. Yes. Through faith. Now, you getting this? Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with Him and with His Father. Right? A relationship with Him. And of course, we must not, we cannot leave out the Holy Spirit. Amen. We must not leave out though. It is through the Holy Spirit's witness to our spirit that we know that we are a child of God. Amen. Do you get that? That we are a child of God. It's the testimony of the Holy Spirit of God to your spirit that you belong to Him. And God is your Father. The Apostle Paul spoke to this as well. He wrote concerning this as well in Romans chapter 8, verses 14. Beginning of verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. Now listen to this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? Those that are led by the Spirit of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Oh, Lord, please deliver folks from fear in these days. The media, politicians doing their best to keep you in fear. They want to control us with fear. That's another subject. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. What's Paul saying? You're no longer under that judgment. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Huh? You're no longer under that spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit, capital S, of adoption. Huh? Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Our dear Father. Only a family member can do that. And because of Jesus. Because of Jesus and what He did for us. We've been made the children of God. Verse 16 in Romans 8 says this. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. It's amazing. It's amazing. Paul would go on to say that we're joint heirs with Christ. Huh? We've been brought into the family. When we pray, who do we pray to? Father. Huh? Oh, Father. Aren't you grateful? That because of Jesus, we have a relationship with God the Father. Through God the Son. Amazing. Are you saved? Are you saved? If you are saved, you are a child of God. You have, beloved, a relationship with the eternal God of glory. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ is our example in this. He gave Himself to do what, as we see in this passage? He gave Himself to do the will of His Father. It was His desire to what? Please His Father. He's our example. What is our desire to be? The same. To do His will. To please Him. To please our Father and to live. Not for our honor, but for His honor. For His glory. And where does that all begin? It begins with hearing and believing. Huh? Those who hear and believe. The idea is believing with this heart of faith. Yes. Yes, I realize. Yes, as Your Word says, Lord, I know the wages of my sin is death. My need is to be saved from my sin. I hear You, Lord, and I believe that what Jesus Christ did to pay the price of our sin begins with Jesus. Again, he said, speaking of himself. He said these words, speaking of himself. For I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Huh? By the way, that's where he found us.
Amen.
Lost and undone. Thank you, Lord. But I ask the question as we close. Are you one that Jesus is seeking still? Is he seeking you? Beloved, dear one, you are found by what? Hearing and believing. Yes, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need to be saved. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I believe that He is the Christ, the one, the anointed one of God to be our sacrifice for sin. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before you. I'm so thankful that I can come to the very throne of grace this morning. Thank you for these dear ones. Thank you for their patience with this preacher. Thank you, Father, that we can have this time with you. I'm grateful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm asking you that your Spirit might brood over this assembly. And Father, help us who are saved to commit our hearts, our lives, to live for your glory, to live for your honor. Commit our hearts to do that which pleases you and honors you, to do your will. But Father, I'm also asking in Jesus' name that you would work in that heart here today that still is in doubt, still in question, where they will spend eternity. Oh God, if they'd spend eternity under the judgment and wrath of God, or if they'd hear and believe that Jesus loves them and died for them, gave His life for them. Oh God, I'm asking you, speak to those ones as well. Draw them by your Spirit, savingly, beautifully, gloriously to yourself. We'll give you the praise for it as we pray in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen and amen. Brother John.
It's 500.
As we sing, beloved, please, these altars are open as always. Please make use of them as the Lord would direct you. God's speaking to your heart. Don't hesitate. Don't hold back. Do what He would have you to do. If you need somebody to pray with you, we're here. And if you are here today and you realize, honesty of your heart, I need to be saved. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. We're here to pray with you. Here to point you to Jesus. He does the saving.
Amen.
Amen. As we sing, please obey the Lord.
The Savior of church will save. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. What a relationship. It's really hard to get my puny little brain around that, the depth of that relationship between Jesus, the Son of God, and the Father. God the Father. Huh? Just the only word that keeps coming to my mind, it was perfect. It was perfect in every way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother John, would you come? Amen.
Of course, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me.
Wonderful, wonderful Jesus.